I would like very much for you to pull up a chair and pay very special attention to this message that I'm going to bring you today. I'm going to talk to you about some very serious matters. Now, if you have your Bible, open it to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and 20. Isaiah, the 8th chapter, verse 19 and 20. Now, here's the title of the message. And as you're listening to the message, remember that it's available to you on cassette tape so that you can play it for someone else or listen to it again for your own instruction and edification. But a summary of our gospel, that's what I'm going to talk about today, a summary of our gospel. Now, Isaiah the prophet wrote many, many years ago in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, "When they shall say to you, seek ye the prophets," that's who he's talking about, the preachers, "that have familiar spirits." In other words, if you want to know something about God and about spiritual matters and about life eternal, go to the prophets who have familiar spirits. In other words, he's saying they're going to say this to you. Go to those people who claim to have special, unusual powers. Powers to heal and powers to cast out devils and powers to have divine visions and revelations and dreams. Or they may say this to you. Seek ye the wizards that peep and mutter, speak in low muttering tones. That is, go to the preachers who have charm and charisma, who sing like birds, who peep like birds, and who mutter in pleasant tones. He said, if you go to these people, they'll mislead you. They'll mislead you. He asked this question, should not a people seek their God? People tell you, go to these folks that have familiar spirits. Go to these that peep and mutter. Should not a people seek to their God? Shouldn't we go to God? Shouldn't we go to God's Word? Shall we seek the living God listening to dead men? Now notice the next verse. He continued. Isaiah said, go to the Scriptures. Go to the law and to the testimony. Go to the Word of God. Search the Scriptures. And if those prophets and those preachers to whom you listen, if they do not speak according to the Word of God, according to the law and the testimony, it's because there's no light in them. There's no dawning. There's no truth. Now, this is what Paul says to the church at Corinth, the same thing that Isaiah said in the Old Testament. Don't go to those with familiar spirits. Don't go to those who claim special powers and special visions and revelations. Don't go to hear a man because he speaks with charm or charisma. Go to the Word of God. Don't seek the living God among the dead. Go to the Word of God. Whomever you may be listening to, if they do not speak according to the Scriptures, it's because there's no truth in them. There's no light in them. And Paul said this to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2. He said, brethren, when I came to you, when I came to minister to you, and Paul was down there in Corinth for a year and a half preaching to this church, to these people. And when I came to you, I didn't come with excellency of speech. I didn't depend upon oratory. I didn't depend upon the power of words. I didn't come to you with wisdom of words and intellectualism, declaring unto you the testimony of God. That was not my method. That was not my way. I determined when I was among you to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he said, I was with you in fear, in weakness, and in trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with philosophy, was not with enticing, entertaining words of man's wisdom, but I preached to you the Word of God, the Word of God, the truth of the Scriptures. I preached to you not depending on entertainment and charisma and emotionalism and enticing words of man's wisdom. I preach to you in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Why? that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, in the logic of men, in the reasoning of men. Your faith must not stand in the wisdom of men. Your faith must stand in the power or in the Word of God. You see, my friends, the Lord did not send His preachers to entertain. He didn't send His preachers to entice people and to rob people. He sent His prophets. You read this in the book of Ephesians. He sent His prophets, His apostles, His missionaries, and today we're called pastor teachers. Those two words go together, pastor teachers. He sent them to preach and to teach His Word to all who will hear. God's preacher comes preaching God's Word. Thus saith the Lord. What saith the Scriptures? That's His platform. That's His foundation. That's His ministry, to teach you the Word of God, that you might be mature in the things of Christ. And listen to me now. As I've warned you before, and I've been on this station for 18 years, preaching the gospel, teaching the Word of God. And as I've warned you before, I warn you again. I warn you again concerning these religious entertainers, these religious showmen with their orchestras and bands and extravagant theater productions. You see them, they're on all the time. I warn you about these people. Don't go to those with familiar spirits. Don't go to the wizards at peep. Go to the Word of God. I warn you against preachers who beg for money. I've warned you time and again on this program. They beg for money in the name of God Almighty. They carry on telethons in the name of God Almighty to raise money. They sell trinkets. They sell idols. They sell religious paraphernalia for the sole purpose of raising money for themselves and for their programs. And I say to you with a heavy heart, God did not send them. What God Almighty purposes, God provides. Do you understand that? What God purposes, God provides. And when God sends a man to preach His Word, He supplies his need. God does. Miraculously, sovereignly, according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And the preacher who is sent of God does not have to beg for money or raise money or pressure people to send money or sell trinkets and paraphernalia in the name of God to keep something going which he claims is of God. If it's of God, God will provide. And I say unto you, and I warn you, that's what Isaiah was warning, what he was warning the people about hundreds of years ago. God's preachers are plain men. Plain men. They're humble men. They're not philosophers. And they're not showmen. And they're not entertainers. And they don't live in million-dollar houses. And they don't wear expensive clothing and jewelry. God's preachers don't. They're plain men. I'm telling you, go through the Scriptures. Study the men of God. Paul, Peter, James, John the Baptist, Isaiah. All of these men were plain men who came not entertaining people, not enticing them, not using them to accomplish their vainglory and purposes. God's preachers come preaching God's Word. Is that not true? You know that it's true. And God's preachers are not dishonest men. They do not steal. They do not beg. They do not borrow beyond their means. They do not bring reproach on the kingdom of God or the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not popular men, but they're God's men, and they're preaching God's Word. They do not depend on the flesh and the world, but they simply preach. They come preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, depending on the power of that Word to accomplish the will of God Almighty. That's what I'm trying to do on this program. And I beg of you, listen to me and hear me. Don't be taken in by this promotion today in the name of religion. by this entertainment and emotionalism in the name of religion. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Read the Scriptures. See who He is and see what He says. Search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. And I want to repeat to you a few points in this message today, which I entitled The Summary of Our Gospel. The Summary of Our Gospel. And it's true. It's true. It's the Word of God. That's what I try to do. Give you a point, read it in the Scriptures, and illustrate that point. Now listen to this. Here's what I'm saying. Point number one. There'll be five of them. If you have pencil and paper, jot it down. Here's the first one. Everything spiritual, everything of any eternal value, I'm talking about things of eternal value. I'm not talking about things that fade away today and gone tomorrow and here today and gone the next day. I'm talking about things that last, things spiritual, things eternal. Everything spiritual and eternal that a living, holy God has for you and for me, sinners, sons of Adam, is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's so. You remember that. Everything spiritual. It's not in the church. It's in Christ. It's not in an experience. It's in Christ. It's not in a doctrine. It's in Christ. Everything spiritual, eternal, of any value that God has for a sinner that will last is in Christ Jesus. Now you can't add to that statement. You can't take away from it. And you can't improve on it. Listen to Ephesians 1 and see if this is not what Ephesians 1 is saying. Verse 3. Now listen to it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings. I'm not talking about a new car in your garage and financial improvement and a healing for your sore back. I'm talking about something's going to last. I'm talking about something of great value. I'm talking about something eternal. I'm talking about justification, forgiveness, redemption, sanctification, fellowship with God. These are spiritual blessings. And these are all in Christ Jesus. That's where they are. We were chosen in Christ. We are accepted in Christ. In Christ we have redemption. In Christ we have the forgiveness of sins. In Christ we have an inheritance reserved in heaven for us. It's all in Him. In Him. Listen to Colossians 2 verse 3. This is what the Word says. I'm not trying to excite you and stir you up emotionally and get you to turn flip-flops there behind your television. I'm trying to get you to listen. Faith is a hard work. It's a hard understanding of what God has written. Don't go to the wizards at Pete. Don't go to those who claim special familiar spirits. Go to the Word of God. All flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of God endureth forever. Colossians 2, 3, listen. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where is wisdom? Where is knowledge? In Christ Jesus. Listen to verse 9 and 10. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Him. All spiritual blessings in Him. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of God are you in Christ, who of God, Christ, is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that no flesh should glory in His presence. It's not in the preacher. It's not in my philosophy or my wisdom or my cheerleading powers to keep you stirred up. All of this wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption is in His Son and revealed in His Word. John 3:35, listen to this. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hands. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, did I make that plain? We didn't jump over the pulpit and I didn't scream at you and assault you and berate you. I just told you all spiritual blessings that God Almighty, the living holy God, has for you and me as sinners is in Christ Jesus. Or here's the second point. Those spiritual blessings in Christ become ours. They become ours by a living personal union with Christ. Now, if God has put everything in the Son, then for me to have anything of that everything, I've got to be where it is. I've got to be where God put it. I've got to be in the Son. You see what I'm saying? Eternal life is not just believing there's a God. It's not just believing in God. It's not just learning the correct doctrine. It's not just having an emotional experience. Eternal life is to know God and to have the nature of God regenerated in you. It's to know God and to have the nature of God. Listen to this scripture, John 17, 2 and 3. This is Christ Jesus Himself praying the priestly prayer. In John 17, 2, He said, Father, Thou hast given me power, that word's authority, over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given me. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. That's eternal life, is to know God, is to have the nature of God. Listen to 1 John 5:20. Now, if words can mean anything, listen to this scripture. 1 John 5:20, we know that the Son of God hath come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true and that we're in Him that is true. Even in Him, this is the true God and this is eternal life. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. God's Son has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him, that we may be in Him. It pleased God, Paul said, to reveal His Son in me. God revealed His Son in me. Salvation's of the Lord. It's a birth from above. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. It's not Christ in a book, Christ in a creed, Christ at an altar, Christ in you. I travail, Paul said to the church at Galatia, till Christ be formed in you. So, God has put all things, spiritual blessings, in Christ. And those blessings become ours by a union with Him. We partake of and participate in those mercies and blessings in Christ. And He illustrates it several ways. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Neither can you except you abide in me. Without me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, the life. You're a branch in Christ, participating of the life of the vine. He illustrates it this way, the head and the body. He said Christ is the head of the church. The church is His body. The head's where the power is, where the life is. I can live without an arm, not without a head. I can live without a leg, but not a head. There are several organs and parts of this body without which I can live, but not without my head, not without Christ. The life's in Him. Husband and wife are one flesh. Christ said, this is a picture of Christ and His church, a husband and a wife. So He's the heir. We're joint heirs with Him. Now, is that clear? I've tried to make that clear to you, haven't I? That's what the Scripture teaches. All spiritual blessings in Christ, they're only ours by a union with Christ. Well, how is this union with Christ accomplished? That's the third point. This union with Christ is the gift of God, no question about that. It's the work of God. It's accomplished by the power of God, but it's effected through faith. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. He that heareth my word, Christ said, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Faith, to believe God. You see, that great chapter, I call it the Hall of Faith, the history of those great men of days gone by, Abel, Noah, Enoch, Abraham, Moses. What does it say about those men? Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith. By faith Enoch walked with God and was translated that he should not see death and had this testimony. He pleased God. How? By faith. Without faith it's impossible to please God. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the salvation of his house. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going, but God called him and he went out. I tell you, on that last great day of the feast, when the feast was over, 3 days of celebration, ceremonies, sacrifices, and teaching, and the people had nothing, going away as empty as when they came. The water had been poured upon the sacrifice. In that last great day of the feast, our Lord Jesus stood in the midst of the people and he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. Let him come to me. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let him come to me. Can you come to Christ? By faith. That's where the blessings are. Come to the fountain. That's where the water is. Come to the rock. Out of my bondage, my sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health. Out of my want, into thy wealth. Out of my sin, into thyself, Jesus, I come. That's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I've given you 3 things. You understand? At least up here what I'm saying? Everything's in Christ. And everything's ours by a union with Christ. And that union with Christ is affected by faith. Faith in God. Believe God. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? The jailer asked. Paul said, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The 4th thing. This saving faith in Christ comes by hearing the word of truth. By hearing the word of truth, by hearing the gospel of your salvation. It's not going to come by listening to somebody speaking gibberish and carry on an entertaining program and beg for money and sell gimmicks and paraphernalia. It's not going to come by all of this emotionalism and everybody screaming and yelling at the same time. It's going to come by hearing. The word of truth. Isn't that what Ephesians 1:13 says? In whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians 1:21 says? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from one degree of faith to the other. For the just shall live by faith. My friends, Paul dealt with this in Romans 10. And that's the reason we preachers need to speak calmly. We need to speak simply. We need to speak so that people can understand what we're saying. Not like a fellow that's lost his breath and screaming at people. We need to talk, communicate with the hearts of people. Paul said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they going to call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they going to believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how are they going to preach except they be sent? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I hear people say, well, don't preach to me. Don't preach to me. Well, I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. Don't pressure me. And I'm not going to. Don't nag me. I'm not going to. Don't scold me. I'm not going to. Your flesh, God knows our frame. He knows we're flesh and dust. I know what you are because I know myself. But I must preach the gospel. Because how can you believe if you don't hear? And how can you hear if I don't preach? And most people aren't preaching the gospel. It's the gospel that saves. It's the word of God that saves. Hear it and believe it. Receive it. It's the gospel of God. Oh, I wish I could make that plain to you. Don't leave the simplicity of Christ. Preach the word of God. And wait on God. Quit trying to talk people into professions and trying to talk people into heaven. You can't talk a man into faith. God has to reveal it to him. Reveal it to his heart from the Word. And if he ever sees it from the Word and God reveals it, he'll confess Christ. And last of all, the Holy Spirit must make that gospel effectual. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by entertainment. It's not by pressure. It's not by coercion. It's not by this, that, and the other. It's by the Spirit of God. That's where it is. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The Holy Spirit does not speak of himself either. He doesn't brag on himself. He comes to glorify Christ and to speak of Christ. And oh, that he might speak to you and to me from this word and settle us in Christ. Now, this message is entitled A Summary of Our Gospel. It'll be on a tape. On the other side will be a message I'll bring next week. If you want it, here's the address. The announcer will give you their address, and you write to us. Send $2 to take care of the expenses, and we'll mail it to you. Till next week, may God bless you.